Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Then we'll take you up to 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Obviously talking a lot of Kings trade stuff today. Should the Kings be shopping De'Aaron Fox? Is that a thing that they should be doing if they expect to lose him if they don't make a trade? Would you if you were running the Kings? If you're Wes Wilcox or Monty McNair? 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We'd love to hear from you on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. We'd love to hear from you in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Appreciate everybody who is watching and participating on the show there as well. Go ahead. What was your fake-ass breaking news that you made everybody freak out about?
It wasn't fake breaking news. It's real breaking news. It's just not breaking news from the world of basketball.
Yeah, okay, so it's fake.
There we go. Fabrizio Romano, who is the European Woj, the Manu has acquired Patrick Dorgu from Lecce.
From Lecce?
Yeah.
Like milk?
Well, it's a team. It's a...
Oh.
Yeah. I'm assuming,
I play for the milk team.
I'm assuming it's... I'm not sure where it's at. But the fee is 30 million euro plus 5 million euro in add-ons. So they got a left back. It's good.
It's How does this impact the Jimmy Butler market? That's what I want to know.
Well, I don't know.
Apparently the price has come down for Jimmy Butler. That's honestly, here's the thing. Here's why I think this is worth watching for the Kings. Not because I think they're going to or should trade for Jimmy Butler, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Nets are like, you know what? Internally, if the Nets are like, we'll go top 10 protected on Cam, which is, let's say that's where the Kings are. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's top 50. I don't know where the Kings are, but we'll go to the Kings protection, whatever they want. But we're going to wait for this Jimmy Butler thing to shake out because that might change enough of the league that somebody will give us an unprotected first for Cam.
Maybe.
Or we might be involved in that deal in some way. Like yeah. Once the Jimmy Butler domino... It seems like it's holding things up a little bit.
It might be. I don't want to put too much on like what this unprotected pick means, because an unprotected pick from like say the Kings and an unprotected pick from the Oklahoma City Thunder are two totally different things. Two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the Kings have a better opportunity to fall apart here in the coming years because of the current situation. And for that matter, like I'm trying to get whatever I can from the Kings right now if I'm a team, because like the writing's on the wall that this thing could go south. I mean, we already know that, mm-hmm. you know, you only have guaranteed one more year of DeMar DeRozan,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to make a decision in the third year, right? You know that that De'Aaron Fox is teetering here. Is mm-hmm. he going to be here? Is he not? Like, so 2027 first round pick from the Kings, even if it's top 10 protected, could be pretty good, right? Because at the end of the day, I think that's what you're asking for. Cam Johnson isn't worth like a top 5 NBA pick. He's not worth a top 10 NBA pick in my book.
No.
No, but is he worth like a 12 or 15 pick? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the range I would put him in.
Mm-hmm.
Even like this offseason, there are rumors that the Kings... And the Nets were trying to finish a deal on draft night for mm-hmm. the number 13th pick for Cam Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. Didn't get it done. And it's because they're asking for more than that. And I get it. You have a player that you think has value. And, you know, if you look at what they've got for some of their other players, specifically Mikal Bridges, like you got a ton in that trade. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here at the end of the day, but I do know that there's so much buzz. There, mm-hmm. like everywhere, there's buzz, and not all of it's good. There's like a whole bunch of weird stuff going on right now, and the Kings have to figure their stuff out, and they've got to right the ship. And what they can't do is let whatever's happening during the trade deadline and all that stuff bleed into the court, because they're in a position where that could get out of control very quickly mm-hmm. while you're on a 6-game road trip.
No doubt. The Kings beat the Nets 110-96 last night. I was not moved. And I think it's because we sat here on the radio all day and talked about how, hey, yeah, get this one over with in the middle of the third quarter, rest some starters. This is the game to just go throttle a team. And yeah, okay, they beat them by 14. But to me, I don't... That game was way too close, like, into the fourth quarter. Kings didn't really pull away until, what, like, the seven-minute mark of the fourth quarter?
Oh, yeah, it was close.
That's uncomfortable. I don't know what to make of it. It's a good, like, you want to win that game, obviously, more than you want to lose it. And it's not like they needed a last-second bucket or to come from behind after being down by 20 again. But they were behind in the first quarter, another slow start. They're behind at halftime. It was a battle into the fourth quarter. Like, I was expecting, maybe my expectations are too high. Maybe I went cart before horse again. But I really expected them to really go kind of beat the brakes off that Nets team. And they did late, to be sure, 30-18 in the final quarter, and they won the final three quarters. But yeah, I wasn't moved. I wasn't super impressed by that.
You weren't blown away. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Domas was awesome. De'Aaron was awesome. But just as a team, it was like sloppy. The Nets had a lot of easy buckets.
I thought Malik Monk really, really struggled in the first half. He picked up a bunch of fouls. He turned the ball over four times.
Mm-hmm.
Just loose overall.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of, even when he got called for the technical, I don't even know what he was doing right there, because it was like one of the most obvious fouls I've ever seen.
Clearly fouled him.
Clearly just grabs a guy's arm, and then he said he was yelling at the bench or something. I'm not sure. Maybe he was. Maybe he was saying, hey, that's my fourth foul, but I'm good. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what he was doing. But either way, like, the whole thing was weird. But then when he settled in and they get to the fourth quarter, I just thought it was tremendous basketball. I thought Monk was absolutely spectacular. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron didn't score in the fourth quarter at all. And actually, he had three assists in the fourth quarter. But he had set up the game to that point and been the guy to that point. He didn't even take a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, Keegan was huge in the fourth. Yeah, and then off the bench,
Keegan had a really nice fourth quarter.
He did. And him and Keon Ellis were a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, they just kept taking the ball. Like, in the fourth quarter.
Which is a little bit what I was expecting the entire game.
Oh, no, totally, totally. Yeah, because, I mean, that's a team that is going to turn it over. In the fourth quarter, Keon Ellis, 8 points. He had three steals and a block, an assist, and a rebound. He was a plus 12.
Really aggressive putting the ball on the deck, too.
Yeah, I just thought, like, oh, look at that. Again, you need him to be that player. This team cannot go with their sixth best player just kind of taking a loose night off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were talking about it, too. Like, Kevin Huerter doesn't play. And I think that was one of those, like, flags that popped up, like, oh, Kevin Herter's not playing. And I think he's having his jersey retired at his high school tonight in New York. So, like, Kevin is from upstate New York. I assume he had a whole bunch of family in the audience. The fact that he didn't play is, like, there's, like, a couple of meanings there to me. Mm. And so that, to me, was very, very, like, a big red flag. But then on top of that, Trey Lyles did play. And so I was like, okay, If you're going out here and you're shopping guys, but you're not going to play a guy because he may or may not get traded, then why are you playing the other guy? Because he might get traded too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of like weird messaging coming out of that game. But either way, we'll see how it all plays out here in the next couple of days with trade stuff.
On the plus side, the net shot 36.6% from the field.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. We'll revisit keys in a second, but I've been wanting to ask you this for the last couple of shows. And this may not be an option.
Okay.
But given how they've started some of these games, and given their defensive struggles, particularly in first quarters, do they need to make a change in their starting lineup?
I mean,
is that a thing that needs to happen?
I think it's possible that you're right with that, but I just don't see a way in which they can. Like, their starting lineup is like you're kind of locked in. Like, someone brought it up earlier. Well, who goes to the bench if you get Collins or Cam Johnson? And the answer is nobody.
Sure.
Like, they're replacing Kevin Herter and others on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Trey Lyles, if you have to give up Trey Lyles too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a problem. You're going to have to give up something to get something. But at the same time, I don't see that you're not going to bench De'Aaron Fox. I don't think you can go backwards with Malik Monk. Like,
that's the one. Why?
Well,
given him a taste of the starter life, and now putting him back on the bench is a problem?
Yeah, but I would even say, but like, Malik has been really good. So as a starter, he's averaging 19.4 points and 6.8 assists.
This is not an anti-Malik Monk take.
No, I know.
He's not a problem. It's a, hey, this group of players is having a really hard time stopping the Nets in the first quarter.
No, I
there's
agree.
There's a really easy way to sprinkle in a little defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned yesterday, you don't want your bench to get outscored. The bench got outscored by a bunch.
Horrible.
And again, it didn't. I mean, it ultimately doesn't matter because the Kings starters are so much better than whatever the Nets were rolling out. 17 points to, I think, 40. The Kings bench was outscored. Mm-hmm. Okay, you bring some scoring. Like, the way this had all worked beforehand. I don't think the Kings are winning because Malik Monk's in the starting lineup. I think the Kings are having to come from behind in part because they don't have enough defense in that group.
Yeah.
And moving Keon Ellis into the starting lineup and moving Malik Monk back into the sixth man role seems like a really easy thing. And I said this on the internet last night, and Matt George said, who's going to be the one to tell him? Like, I'll do it. Like, hey, you're about winning. You're really freaking good off the bench. This is what the team needs.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, he may not love it, but I think Malik probably wants to win more than play 34 minutes. And if that's it, gives them a better chance to win games.
I would just say this. I don't know. Okay, that's one pathway to get better, right?
Sure, yeah.
Another pathway is to get off your hands and go trade for a Malik Monk type player that can come in and impact the floor. That's it. Like, you made this decision, and mm-hmm. I think you're doing a good job of using Keon. I mean, Keon played 30 minutes last night.
Yeah, Keegan but, foul trouble helped.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're looking at Keegan, Keon, De'Aaron, and Malik, okay, you got three guys. The problem is you don't really have a fourth guy, and we thought, okay, well, maybe when you get Devin Carter back, maybe he can be that guy. Right now, Devin Carter can't be that guy. Like, not this season. There's no way.
He just doesn't have enough NBA experience.
He doesn't even have his wind.
Yeah.
Like, most games, you see him, like, hands on knees, like, what's going on here? So that's a problem, that you can't rely on him for anything. But it's what we told you was going to happen, that there was a more high likelihood of him not being that player.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you can't go get another player like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are teams like, again, I bring it up, like Bones Highland. He can come in and score.
Big Bones Highland guy.
Just give you like a boost. I don't love him as a player, but like, he comes in, like, he knows what the assignment mm-hmm. is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you need to find one of those guys, that a lower level guy that can come in and give you some pop. And that's what I would do, as opposed to changing the starting lineup. I would go get the guy that helps complement the bench better. And I would do it for the backup point guard spot.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it for the backup 3-4 spot. And I would do it for the backup 5 spot. This team does not have the quality of depth behind their starters is not good. And that's why we have this big letdown. That's why someone brought it up earlier. Oh, what do you think about De'Aaron Fox having a 0 plus minus last night? Because De'Aaron Fox played with the bench. That's why. Look at what the bench did. Look what they did. Like, they
Trey
went
Lyles,
like,
just in case anybody doesn't know the box score in front of them. Trey Lyles, minus 18 in 15 minutes. You have Devin Carter. Nope. Doug McDermott, minus 10 in 6.5 minutes. Alex Len, minus 14 in 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Devin Carter was a plus 8 in 9.5 minutes.
Yeah, just like really, really tough, man. It's the second unit, when you start mixing it up, it gets out of control very quickly. And like, look, they do not run the starters out there for the entire first quarter. Like, you got starters for 6 minutes, and then you change it up, and De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan go to the bench. You bring them back in later, and there's all kinds of things that they're doing mm-hmm. when it comes to their starting lineups. But I don't believe that their starting unit is a problem. I'd have to look and see where they rank plus minus and where they're at as far as like a group. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's a bad group. And I think, to be honest with you, for a long time, it was one of the better groups in the NBA.
Sure. As currently constructed, whatever the Kings are doing that's making them start slow, they need to figure it out.
Yeah. And it's just...
Coming back from 17 or 18 down, like I saw, Doug Christie's team has come back from 17 down and 18 down and 17 down. Like, that, at some point, like, that's not a great stat.
Mm-hmm.
You do it a couple times in a year, like, yeah, awesome. You fight till the end, that's great. The Nuggets game, you're down a million and got it close. The Bucks game, you're down a million and got it close. And then you lost those games. So whatever it is, and maybe it is, maybe it's what you're talking about. Maybe it's the bench depth. Maybe when they make that first substitution, it just all goes to hell. And that's the bigger problem. But
mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you on the season, the starting unit of Fox, Monk, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, and DeMar DeRozan, they're a plus 2.5 points when they're in the game. And they've played the most minutes out of any five-man group of the Kings. They've played 390 minutes together, which mm-hmm. is a ton,
mm-hmm.
right? The second next group is the same group except for no Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter in the starting lineup. They're plus 8.5.
Right.
So didn't matter
start
how,
Kevin Huerter.
Yeah, it didn't matter how bad Kevin Huerter was playing. They were still a plus 8.5, right? Mm-hmm. And that's in 184 minutes. Their next lineup is with Monk and Ellis in the backcourt. That's plus 23.6 in 123 minutes. So that's a really good lineup.
Mm.
And then the Keon Ellis, De'Aaron Fox backcourt is plus 18.4 in 80 minutes. So, yeah, I'm not saying that it's a bad lineup. It's
the worst version of the four lineups you just read, though, including the one that has Kevin freaking Huerter in it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hey, the lineup.
That's pretty interesting.
With DeRozan, Sabonis, Ellis, Fox, and Monk is a plus 17.8. And I would say that most of their best lineups include Keon Ellis. Like,
huh.
It is what it is. Like, Keon Ellis, their best lineup that the Kings have. A plus 35.8 is Malik Monk, Keon Ellis, Trey Lyles, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Here's the problem.
I'm just a guy with a microphone.
Well, yeah, but here's the problem. It's you have to consider that there are other things, other factors involved in these pluses, right?
No doubt.
So when we talk about most of these lineups that like stand out, some of those lineups are against the opposition starting unit, and some of them aren't. Does that make sense? Like, so we get to the six-minute mark of the first quarter. They pulled De'Aaron Fox out, and all of a sudden Keon Ellis is in the game, and they go up against a couple of bench players on the other team, and all of a sudden they start running up the score a little bit, and sure. That's how we start to get some of this separation.
Sure.
So, anyway. It's complicated, Kyle. Stats.
Sorry, the last bit there. Did you see what Damian Barling tweeted 10 minutes ago?
No.
Damian Barling, who's coming up on this radio station at noon with Kenny Caraway. The Sacramento Kings are an absolute mess.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the handoff. Coming up in about 25 minutes.
Yep.
I want to see if he'll come in earlier.
I think they are
gotta
a mess.
I got to find out. Yeah. Maybe he's riffing on what we've been talking about.
I may have texted that to somebody this morning, that same exact thing.
Vibes are bad.
Vibes
are weird. Vibes are weird. I'm going to call them weird. I don't want to call them bad. I'm going to call them weird.
Okay, but they're on the bad side of weird, not the funny side of weird.
Yeah, trending, right, trending. Not weird like, hey, they're going to make this trade that nobody is thinking about or hearing about. Weird in the sense of, hey, there might be a secret doorway that they're about to go down that we had not really considered because these other two paths just seem so clear.
Yeah, Yeah. Damian's out there. Yeah. He does have another tweet.
Oh, does he?
He does. Kings fans should be open to the opening, should open their minds to the very real possibility of a De'Aaron Fox trade. That was 1 minute ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
The Kings are an absolute mess.
Yeah, so when we've had these discussions all day, just know that. Like,
I don't, dude.
We might know that guy, Damian.
Is he here? He's here.
Just going to leave you guys here on the radio.
I'm
going
to go vamp for 4 minutes. So,
Kyle, go ahead.
You want to revisit keys from the game last night?
Yeah, let's go ahead and.
Great. Hopefully, hang on. Oh, my God.
Damian just like.
Throws.
Molotov cocktail and runs out of the room.
Should I just FaceTime him?
No, we're not gonna FaceTime. He's here somewhere. There goes Joe. We can have Joe go find Damian for us. I think we're at a really weird spot. And like, is there a possibility that fences can be mended? Is there a possibility that all this stuff? Sure. The reason why we've had lots of discussions today about De'Aaron Fox and where he fits with this team long term because we don't know, and because things have gotten murky behind the scenes, and I'm sure Damian's gonna have a lot more to discuss about this.
Good booking by me, Damian Barling, joining us in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I would tell everybody this: the last 12 hours have been a little wild for me, for Damian, for other people that are around this team. And we're going to have to see how it all plays out in the end. You can think one thing right now, today, where we sit, but you're also looking at like 8 days until the deadline or 10 days until the deadline. People can have their minds changed. People can, deals could come up that you just can't say no to.
Mm-hmm.
Deals can come up that you have to say no to automatically and just walk away from. But I'd also say that like almost everything is on the table at this point. And that's because it's where the Kings have put themselves, the situation they put themselves with a star player who's got one more year after this year under contract. And,
I don't know, man. It is going to take, let's say that happens. Again, if you're just tuning in, Damian Barling, D'Lo and Casey is going to be joining us here in about 5 minutes. Tweeted, Kings fans should open up their minds to the very real possibility of a De'Aaron Fox trade.
Mm-hmm.
The move that would have to be made for that to be something that is well received, I don't know that move is out there. Because look at all these freaking picks is not going to do it for a fan base that wants to contend for a title this year.
No.
For a fan base that has been looking and going, hey, can you get Cam Johnson? Hey, can you get John Collins? Can you get them both? Hey, what is that? Ooh. Can you go? Is conference finals in the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if Oklahoma City, if Chet doesn't get right, can you? Memphis is super banged up. Houston's super young. Hey, can you make a little run? To go from that to, okay, hey, De'Aaron Fox is traded. Nay, but it didn't get a lot back player wise. But look at all these picks. That's not going to move the needle the way they want it.
And it can't be for picks. And it's where, like, again, we want to talk about San Antonio. San Antonio right now, like, they can offer picks, right? And they might even have picks from other people. I don't know what their exact like register of first round picks look like.
Mm-hmm.
But the players that they have to offer are flat out role players. Like Jeremy Sohan might be a starter,
mm-hmm.
right? And Devin Vassell might be a starter. Castle might be a starter. Not any of those guys are guaranteed to be in your starting five 2 years from now. None of them.
And are any of the, would you put money on any of those guys ever being an all-star?
No. And that's the problem. Like, they don't have all-star potential. And that's where Fox does have, even though he's only made one all-star team, he's still, like, again, 2 weeks ago, he's sixth in the league in scoring. Right now, he's 12th in the league in scoring. Like, there isn't a player there that has that type of potential that I've seen. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm scouting them, looking at their players, I like Devin Vassell. I like Sochan. I think he'd be a great player for the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. But not for De'Aaron Fox. Like, and that's where you're like, okay, well, what else? Go, and then I go look at the Donovan Mitchell trade, and it's like, okay, if San Antonio is offering that, all of that, mm-hmm. okay, maybe.
Sure.
But that it's got to be the right deal. And again, De'Aaron Fox holds a tremendous amount of power in this situation. He can say
almost
no.
Almost all of it.
He can say no to most teams because he has 1 year left on his deal and say, I will not sign with them. I won't sign with them, and that's it.
Yep.
So.
Damian Barling's going to join us next. He just tweeted that Kings fans need to open their minds to the idea of De'Aaron Fox being traded. We'll ask him what that means. And then we'll hand you over to D'Lo and Casey, which is coming up at noon. That's James Hamlin, Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insiders. And we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Damian Barling in the building as well. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. And you know it's a big deal when the handoff starts a little bit early. So, Damian, you're here because you've been on the internet. You tweeted that the Sacramento Kings are a mess. And then about 10 minutes later, you said that Kings fans should open up their minds to the very real possibility of a De'Aaron Fox trade. Mm-hmm. I imagine this isn't, I don't think you tweet these things lightly or for engagement. So where are we at here?
Well, the Kings are a mess thing is multi-layered, and I thought you and James did a fantastic job of laying that out at the beginning of the show. Like, there's a lot that seems to happen with this and or within this organization that doesn't make a lot of sense. And I thought James laid that out beautifully when he talked about the last draft, the Devin Carter draft. We've talked extensively about how there was a lot of noise about that pick being traded, and it's not just external noise. It wasn't just James, it wasn't just D'Lo and KC, Kyle Madsen, the Insiders, it wasn't just Jason Anderson saying, yo, there seems to be a ton of traction mm-hmm. regarding a trade. It's the fact that that someone in that front office was telling other people in the organization that they were trading that pick. They had a deal in place. And when I say other people, I'm talking about people like De'Aaron Fox, I'm talking about people like Domantas Sabonis, I'm talking about their respective agents hearing mm-hmm. that this deal was being done and then it ultimately not getting done. James, again, laid out at the beginning of the show, that's not the first time that that has happened.
Right.
So it's one thing for us to be out here speculating about whether deals get done or, you know, being told yesterday the Sacramento Kings are nearing a deal. It's one thing for us to get that information and pass it along. It's one thing for us to vet that information through multiple different sources and pass that information along to you. It's a whole other thing for their front office to tell agents of their star players that, hey, we've got deals in place for these certain players and those deals not getting done. And mm-hmm. it feels like that's where the Sacramento Kings are, where they're repeatedly telling people within their organization that deals are getting done that aren't done. And we may be nearing a point. Like, it's well reported that Rich Paul was in Sacramento. Rich Paul said, where are we going here? Representing his client, De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
All he did was parrot a conversation that De'Aaron seemed to have with the front office himself. And it's like, I want to win. I want to win. That's what I want to do. And it wasn't just, we're not good enough to not win. It's that you've had moves in place and you have fallen short time and time again to make this team better. And you continue to march the same group out there expecting different results. So when things weren't going the way that we had all hoped that they were going to go in November, it was, I want to win. And then you have the situation with Mike Brown, where Mike Brown gets fired and De'Aaron gets the blame for it. Coming off of the Detroit game, coming off of that 4-point play, coming off of Mike Brown kind of throwing him under the bus for maybe the second or third time this season, all of a sudden he's fired. And what do you do? Well, you look at Rich Paul in the big evil empire of Clutch Sports, and you look at De'Aaron Fox like, oh, it's his fault. And who was there to help him? Nobody.
Not a single person.
A canned interview with Mark Jones and Monty McNair to explain this whole thing, where 10 minutes into the interview, Monty mentions Mike Brown for the first time. That's not Mark's fault. Right. That is a King's fluff piece that is put out there where James Hamm can't answer questions or ask questions, where Jake Gayden can't ask questions, where Chris Biederman and Jason Anderson can't ask questions. It's where another Kings employee can ask the general manager of the team questions. And we all sat there watching that interview like, this is the biggest waste of time since the decision. You're offering us nothing. And that's what's happening right now, is this organization continues to take misstep after misstep after misstep. And now we've gotten to the point where at least one team has called Sacramento and asked about De'Aaron Fox and offered something, whether the idea of trading De'Aaron Fox is serious enough that they're entertaining it. It was enough for Wes Wilcox to call Rich Paul and tell him, hey, here's what's going on. How do you want to navigate this? And there was no door. That's why the line was, open up your mind to the possibility of De'Aaron Fox being traded. The reason I said open up your mind is because when that call was made, the door wasn't shut.
Mm-hmm.
The door was, oh, we're not doing this. No. We're going to do everything we can to retain De'Aaron Fox. No, Rich, we're going to build a winner here. None of that was said. It was like, okay, well, let's see if we can find something that works for everybody. It doesn't mean that the Sacramento Kings are trading De'Aaron Fox. That's not what that means. But it also doesn't mean that the door is shut on them trading De'Aaron Fox either.
He's not untouchable.
He's absolutely not untouchable.
Mm. I think untouchable in one way, it's complex, right? You're not going to go out and just trade De'Aaron Fox to trade De'Aaron Fox.
Correct.
Right? The reason why we're all in this situation, though, I don't think anyone's hands are clean in this situation. I think that there are enough things that you can stack up against, you know, each side. When you don't make the prerequisite moves to take logical steps as a franchise, that's a problem. And the Kings they got to a point where they had a really, really good season, and then they did not make any of the logical moves after that. And you've got a player who makes all NBA, makes an all-star team, but then it's all predicated on wins and losses.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's not predicated on his stats, because his stats say last season should have been an all-star. Number 8 in the league in scoring, the top 19 guys get in except for you. He doesn't get in. And so you get to this year where it's like all of a sudden financials are part of it. And whether he is an all-NBA player or not means the difference in it's tens of millions of dollars. And people can say, oh, well, is he being greedy? Like, no, he's not being greedy. This is the NBA. This is what happens. This is what great players get.
Mm-hmm.
They get paid. But now you've put him in a situation where, again, a coach gets fired. And, hey, who makes a decision on who's an all-star and who's not as a reserve? We'll find out on Thursday. It's the coaches.
Right.
And how many of them do you think are lining up to give a Sacramento Kings player an all-star bid when they fired one of their own
mm-hmm.
a couple of weeks ago?
It's a good point.
Just because.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Right? And so, again, when De'Aaron Fox feels like he's being thrown under the bus, and a lot of national guys did. They threw him under, well, look what Mike Brown went off on De'Aaron Fox. Next morning, he's fired. That's not what happened. Like, the Foxes were clean in this. De'Aaron's, like, the fact that's that they right. went out to dinner the next week, it's because they always had a good relationship with him.
Right.
Luke Laux and Rosé worked together with the Golden State Warriors under Mike Brown.
That doesn't mean De'Aaron was always thrilled with Mike's decisions, by the way.
Of course not.
But it's also like James isn't always thrilled with the things that I do. That
right.
doesn't mean I'm out, I'm going to 1140. That's not right. what it means. It means we work through those.
Yes.
We work through those differences that we have and right. keep it moving. It was no different than what was going on with De'Aaron Fox and Mike Brown.
Right.
Yeah, so now we're just in a really weird situation. And I did not think that we're sitting here waiting for a trade to happen. We're waiting for a trade to happen because players have been told about a trade happening.
That's right.
A week ago.
That's right.
A week ago, they were told that a trade was happening.
As were agents.
Why do they, why do they keep doing this?
I don't know. So I have a thought that I'm going to hold on to until after 12 because I don't want anyone else in the room to be guilty by what I'm saying.
Sure.
But it all goes back to the same person. Mm-hmm. Every time it goes back to the same person. When you search and you look, like, what's going when you go back to Mike Brown being fired, the very first article that was written in The Athletic was about how it was the front office's decision. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, a different article was written. Mm-hmm. And this one pointed the finger directly at Vivek. Mm-hmm. I am 1,000% certain I know who the problem is. Again, I don't want to make anyone else in this room guilty by association, so I'll wait till 12.
And you're a radio professional. That's a great tease.
Tune in at 12 o'clock.
Tune in at 12. We got something happening.
Speaking of which, for a quick reset, this is The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, Damian Barling in the building. So my fear here is that, A, James and I were just talking about this before you came in, Damian, but A, whatever they get back for De'Aaron Fox is not going to be an adequate return. And I'm lumping that in with B here, that I don't know how many times we've seen the door open on a trade like this where the trade ends up not happening. That's kind of my concern. Like you said, this doesn't mean they're trading him. It doesn't mean they're shopping him. And that's all very clear. That makes sense in my head. But what I can't get past is I feel like once this cat is out of the bag, it's done. It's a really hard thing to kind of come back from long term, to go from, oh, hey, you've got agents being called, to how about an extension? Yeah, you're our guy. That I feel like those two things don't line up.
Do you want to weigh in or do you want me to?
I think De'Aaron Fox would stay here for the rest of his career if the situation was right.
I think so, too.
Even after all this?
I think so, too. Again, this isn't... I understand we're used to this like going a certain way.
Yes.
This isn't... De'Aaron didn't ask for a trade.
Okay.
De'Aaron set his parameters for what it would take to stay here. Mm-hmm. The Sacramento Kings aren't necessarily seeking a trade. But De'Aaron's not untouchable. A call was made, at least one call was made that warranted a call between the front office and De'Aaron's agent to alert them of a conversation that was had, and here's where we are. Again, the door wasn't shut. The door, and at the same time, De'Aaron wasn't ushered out.
Right.
It just means there is a possibility of this happening. I don't think the Sacramento Kings are looking to trade De'Aaron Fox just for the sake of trading De'Aaron Fox. I don't think they're looking to trade De'Aaron Fox because De'Aaron Fox is unhappy. I think if there is a situation that works for Sacramento, mm-hmm. and it works for De'Aaron Fox, I think they'll make that deal. This was the argument that I made weeks ago when Mike Brown was fired, was if there is a deal that makes sense, mm-hmm. that De'Aaron likes and Sacramento likes, you take it.
Sure.
Because if Sacramento likes it, I don't think that it blows up your team. And I think you could still be really competitive this year. My bigger issue is I'm having a really, really difficult time trusting this front office.
Sure.
The Sacramento Kings have two guys in place to do what the job of one. Most teams have one general manager and a team that works with them. This team seems to have two. One of them is called an assistant, but there's no accounts that that guy's actually the assistant general manager. Mm-hmm. We say Monty, 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 Monty a lot when we probably should be saying Wes, Wes, Wes. Mm-hmm. And so I disagree with that. I think you can continue. If Doug Christie continues to be the guy, mm-hmm. you know, 11-4, I think in his 15 right. games as the Kings.
Yeah, 11-4.
11-4. That's a hell of a clip to win at. But if he continues to win, you erase those first 30 games, you make Doug Christie your next head coach, you feel good about that, you feel good about where this team is, hopefully they're in the playoffs somewhere, whether it's by playing or top six. Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's the parameters to win. If you're winning, I feel like De'Aaron Fox could absolutely sign an extension. It's going to be for $125 million less than he had hoped for, because I don't think all NBA is going to be a thing for him.
Probably not.
But
here's my question, and this is kind of what we've been digging into today. Winning, that's just making the playoffs. So if they do nothing at the deadline, they take this team, they finish as the, we'll just say as the sixth seed. Let's say they finish as the sixth seed. And they're a first round exit.
Mm-hmm.
That constitutes winning and doing what it takes to win. Because to me, with all this buzz around Cam Johnson and John Collins, for something to not get done.
I hear you.
I don't, that's where my personal door is open to, okay, well, if you're not getting anything else done and this is the move you're going to have to make eventually anyways, that's that move being the De'Aaron trade. That's where it starts to make sense if they don't think they can go do something substantial to help them win this year.
Okay, but they have to do something substantial because De'Aaron said they have to do something substantial. Not substantial, right. But they have to do something to improve the wing depth. Like, it's just right. Straight up. Like, it's not even like there is no hidden thing that De'Aaron Fox is asking for. There's not a player that he's asked for. There's not a specific, this, you have to get a player of this stature in order for me to stay. He wants players that will help the team win. That's mm-hmm. it, straight up. He wants better players that will help the team win. They need wing depth. They have to go get a wing. That means you have to actively go shop and get a wing, and you can't wait it out for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at. We're at the waiting game stage that we're always at, and the waiting game stage typically leads to inactivity. And if this thing goes through the trade deadline and they're still inactive, I would expect after the season, as soon as the season ends, De'Aaron Fox asks for a trade.
Wes and Monty's job to me is on the line over the next 9 days.
Yes, without question.
They have 9 days to save their job, in my opinion. Because to answer your question, if the scenario that you presented in James talking about the waiting game, and you wind up just getting through this trade deadline, and the Kings wind up scrapping and clawing to a sixth seed because De'Aaron, DeMar, and Domas are playing 40 minutes a night, and Keon is scoring 12 to 15 of the 17 to 19 points that are scored off the bench,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how De'Aaron, Rich Paul, or any Kings fan would look at that and go, well, we're in a great position for next year, especially right. if you lose in the first round.
Right.
If you lose in the first round, you're right back to where you were when you lost to the Golden State Warriors. So mm-hmm. you've made no progress whatsoever. I don't know how anyone in the organization or who follows the organization feels good about that scenario. Other than you dug yourself out of a 6 games under .500 deficit, but that would have been 4 months ago at the time. And that'd be old, the way life, that's old news at this time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There has to be some result greater than just making the playoffs to me. Like that just.
Well, that, and you have to show that you're on a path. I think that's what Fox has been asking for the whole time. It's like, look, it's fine. Like I said earlier, like it's fine that you went out and got DeMar DeRozan, but let's be honest, DeMar doesn't really fit all that well, number one. Number two, DeMar is 35 years old, and you opened a window, and now Fox is like, okay, if we're going to win, if we're in win now mode, then it's with DeMar, and like, but we don't have enough still. So you have to go compliment what you just did, and they continuously have not been able to do that, to add that other piece. And again, when you hear Domas at a basketball camp to say, yeah, well, we had a deal.
That was,
we had two other deals and that fell through.
That was so jarring. That
was
like a, did he mean to say that?
Did he just, yeah.
Like out loud? Oh.
Like they're children present, Domas.
Right.
We're out of camp, man. Well, that's what, like, and it's supposed to be fun and light and about the camp and like, hey, what do you think about DeMar? Well, good. We're glad we got that done because.
Glad we didn't screw that one up.
Because we had two other deals that fell through.
Oh.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
But
just
that's a problem.
Overpromise, under-delivering just consistently. That's wild.
Yeah. And you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you absolutely can't do that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Again, the seriousness of this, I don't know. Like, again, it was serious enough for the front office to call his agent. And does this have any bearing on any potential deals for John Collins or Cam Johnson or someone else? I don't think so, but I can see why it might.
And just, can you clarify how substantial of a deal that is, that the front office or Wes Wilcox is calling Rich Paul, because it's not like they do that anytime somebody calls about De'Aaron Fox.
Well, I think it's substantial because if Wes had called and said, hey, Rich, just wanted you to know, San Antonio called and they offered, we told them to go to hell.
Right.
That's not what happened. Right. And you probably don't even make that call.
Right. Because
I'm sure that happens pretty regularly. I'm sure that happens when Draymond Green's podcast dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Monty, Wes, whoever takes the call. Just watching the Draymond Green show. Was curious. What you guys is playing? Click.
Right.
It's easy. You don't call Rich and tell him about that. But you call if it's like, hey, just letting you know this happened. What do you think?
Well, and that deal is out there, that there is something tangible that they can actually say yes or no to.
Right.
And that's the difference. Like, all this hypothetical stuff, it is what it is. But when we get down to it, there's a deal on the table, and Fox at this point can say yes or no.
And De'Aaron, right, and that's the thing. He can say yes or no, not in the way that Bradley Beal can, but in the way that OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam could.
Mm-hmm.
There's all of this stuff about like Miami and all of these different places. Cool, like I'll go there for a year.
Yeah.
I'm not signing a contract. And Rich has no, we've seen it. Rich Paul has no issue. Absolutely. De'Aaron will go into Miami. I mean, South Beach with a great organization, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra. He'll bust his ass for a year, but he's not signing a contract extension until the offseason. So you're acquiring, knowing he might leave.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, by all means, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's San Antonio, we'll sign an extension there. You know, people want to wait. Oh, you can't trade Jalen Green till the offseason. Wait for Houston. That's fine. You think Houston just beat Cleveland twice and Boston.
Mm.
Houston looks as real could possibly be right now.
See how Men's game winner last night. It was nice.
Hold out for Amin Thompson. They're not trading him.
No chance.
He's next. Yes. He is one of those dudes. They are not trading that man. And so whatever you're holding out for hope with the Rockets, that's fine. But based on things that we have learned, De'Aaron Fox will go into the Rockets situation like, yeah, absolutely, I will bust my ass for Houston, my hometown team, for a year. Mm-hmm. And then I will make a decision on what I want to do after that. Mm-hmm. And Rich will convey that message to Houston and any other organization that I believe isn't San Antonio.
You remember that we had a better deal 2 days ago?
I remember that. Still don't know what he meant.
It meant that DeMarcus Cousins' agent called and said, hey, we're not signing an extension there at all.
And they lost, a draft pick?
They lost a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. It became a second.
Mm.
All right.
And they can do that.
D'Lo and Casey coming up next. It's going to be on this stream. Don't go anywhere if you're on YouTube and Twitch. Plenty more coming up with D'Lo and Casey right here on ESPN 1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Can't wait. Should be a fun one. I don't know where I'm at. Drink water. Be nice to people. 10 a.m. tomorrow. D'Lo and Casey next. ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.